One of the things that I find very interesting about the Acts of the Apostles, just in general, and our reading, that first reading from there in particular today, is how it puts a great focus on the apostles, but without ever compromising the absolute centrality of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful Catholic book of the Bible. The first reading states that the apostles were esteemed by the people, held in high honor, to such an extent that they wanted Peter's shadow to fall on their sick in order to cure them. Peter and the other apostles, including St. Paul, they accept this esteem, this honor. But they're always clear. The power working through them is not theirs, but God's. We continue to honor them highly today, to ask their intercession today, to ask them to heal us today, to let the power of God work through them for our benefit today. But you know, we can also let the power of God work through you today as well. In the second reading from the book of Revelation, John finds himself exiled on the island of Patmos because he was preaching about Jesus. He could have gotten discouraged and given up, but John didn't. He continued to pray and to believe and to hope. And God rewarded him with the vision of the risen Christ that encourages us still today. John saw the risen Jesus walking amidst the seven lampstands, kind of like this one maybe, which symbolized seven Christian communities. All seven of those communities were experiencing trials and struggles in one way or another. And John sees Jesus walking in their midst. And he hears Jesus speaking with complete knowledge and understanding about their struggles and giving them advice and counsel and encouragement. He's walking in our midst here today too. The risen Jesus knows your struggles with complete understanding. Trust him. He comes with what the book of Revelation calls the hidden manna, the bread of life. That refers to the Holy Communion that Jesus gives us in this Mass. That hidden manna, or Holy Communion, nourishes and strengthens us so that the power of God can work through us just as powerfully as it worked through the apostles in the early church. The gospel tells us the story of doubting Thomas, right? That's how we often refer to him, rightly or wrongly. Maybe that sounds like you and me from time to time, right? We can have our own questions, if not doubts. Thomas is a great model for us. I love that painting by Caravaggio, if you've ever seen it. It's a beautiful depiction of Thomas on when he's actually there, right? And the risen Jesus is kind of like opening his side up and grabbing his hand and put your hand into my side. And you can see Thomas is just like, oh, you know, freaking out, right? Scared to death. In a good way, fear of the Lord, right? The inside of God being opened up for you. Come in. Right? That's the experience that Thomas had there. I see the heart of God revealed to me today. That story happens on the Sunday after Easter Sunday, just like today. Thomas was heartbroken, both that Jesus had died on the cross and that he, Thomas, had run away and abandoned his Lord. There's nothing wrong with a broken heart as such, except that it can become very easy to become self-focused. Thomas says to his brother apostles, "Unless I see the mark of the nails and put my finger into the nail marks and my hand into his side, I will not believe. Sometimes grief is about the loss of the beloved. Sometimes grief is about me and my loss. I'm sure Thomas missed Jesus, but he was just as sorry for himself as he was for Jesus. I think there's an interesting lesson here about doubt. Is my doubt really about Jesus not being believable? Or is my doubt more about me? You know, doubtings can be more cool than believing, right? If I doubt, then I don't have to commit. If I doubt, then I don't have to change. If I doubt, then I can pretend that I'm in charge. But if I believe, then Jesus is in charge. If I believe, then I need to change. If I believe, then I need to confess my sins and ask for forgiveness. If I believe, then it's not about my plans, but God's plans for me. For Thomas, it wasn't just a matter of whether I think Jesus is alive or dead. It was a matter of whether my life is centered on me or on God. Real faith isn't scientific proof, examining the nail marks and the wound in the side, although there's nothing wrong with science. But science can't bring joy. When the apostles experience the risen Jesus, in other words, when they finally surrender in faith to the gospel of the resurrection, they immediately rejoice. Thomas, when he finally surrenders to the risen Jesus, he immediately responds with a joy that can't remain silent, "My Lord and my God." That kind of faith overcomes the fear of suffering. You know, they're locked in that upper room. The fear of mockery. The fear of my need to change. That kind of faith reconciles earth and heaven. Reconciles this world and the next. Reconciles science and wonder. And it brings joy. When we surrender in faith to the gospel of the resurrection, there's a new perspective. We continue to live in the shadowlands of this world, but there's a new perspective that no matter what happens here, our true life and true adventures are only just beginning. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Our Lord isn't tame. He's not only this world. He's not only science. He's of the next world. He's mystery. He's wild. He's imminent and transcendent. And he's ours. So here's the homework for the week. When you receive Holy Communion today, say amen with all the prayer and faith and love in your heart, with all your strength. And for the rest of the week, let Thomas's prayer be on your lips and your heart. My Lord and my God. Let him be your center this week. My Lord and my God.